very good morning to you. You are listening, of course, to another Spotlight here on Red River Radio. And that little French horn fanfare there, the opening to the last movement of the Bartok Concerto for Orchestra, one of the featured works this weekend by the Shreveport Symphony Orchestra on their next Masterworks concert. And joining me in the studio, as always, the music director of the Shreveport Symphony, Michael Butterman, in the studio with me. And our soloist this weekend as well, John Henry Crawford. Shreveport native, outstanding young musician, and first of all, welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Good to be with you.
Great to be
and,
here.
And Michael, why don't you talk a little bit about the program?
Sure. Well, we have two concertos, as you just mentioned, on the program, and a concerto is essentially a work that, well, typically features a contrast of forces. It features either a soloist or a group of soloists that are playing in some kind of contrast with a larger ensemble. And typically, we think of concertos as being works that are for a single solo player and an orchestra. And that's, of course, what we have in the case of the Dvorak Cello mm-hmm. Concerto, probably the best known of all the cello concertos in the repertoire. But contrasting that, we have something called a concerto for orchestra, which is almost a contradiction in terms. I think Bartok, what he meant to imply through it is that the entire orchestra has its opportunity to kind of step to the fore. Each section in turn has its moment of being the featured sonic event, and it's also virtuosic for the entire orchestra at one time or another. And it's a work that was written in the 1940s, but it has really become absolutely standard part of the orchestra repertoire. It's a well-loved piece by musicians and audiences alike because it's actually very accessible, very tuneful, mm-hmm. Rhythmically catchy. But it is also one of those pieces that musicians look forward to. It's you gotta practice. You gotta dig in.
Challenge for the orchestra.
You bet it is. Absolutely.
Well, that's the concerto part of it.
That is the concerto part. And subsequently, other people have written what they call concerto for orchestras sure. as well. But this is by far the best known of all of those. And we're going to close the first half of our concert with that and put the Dvorak in the place of where we might normally put a symphony on the second half of the program. And it's the longest work on the program.
Sure.
And it has I would say, like the two Brahms piano concertos, it has both a breadth and also sort of a heft of a symphony. It's substantial music that is developed symphonically, and it holds that sort of that place of center of gravity that the symphony normally would in the second half of the concert.
Absolutely right. In fact, I think sometimes it being called a concerto, what that word means in our mind isn't quite fair enough to the Dvorak, because, as you're saying, it is a very symphonic work. And again, it's a piece that also features solos from without the orchestra.
Of course.
One of my favorites, of course, being the concertmaster solo in the last movement.
So beautiful, yeah.
A gorgeous place, a duo between the cello and the violin, but the viola solos and oboe solos, and it's a terrific and monumental work. And of course, the soloist for this weekend, John Henry Crawford, raised right here, right from Shreveport, and your mom, of course, the director of the Suzuki School at Centenary College, and you came up through the Suzuki program. Obviously, cello, not studying with your mom, but
yes. Well, she started me when I was five, and mm-hmm. all my brothers and I play instruments, and it went violin, cello, violin, and then I was the fourth, so I got cello. And, I started on a green foam cello, and it didn't make any noise. And my dad still quips today that that's the best I ever sounded. I started and played for, 5 or 6 years before I really was serious about it. It was just kind of a hobby. And when I was 11 or 12, I heard a Shreveport Symphony concert. It was a home for holidays concert. And I was just so inspired by this cello solo that came, and the orchestra sounded amazing. And it made me realize this is what I want to go do. And it was Shreveport Symphony that inspired me, and a soloist there. And now I'm back home playing with a symphony I grew up listening to. So it's exciting.
Well, and I remember that concert fondly. And in the it was a holiday concert, but we had virtually, I think, pretty much the whole Suzuki School in
I think
front
so.
Of the orchestra
yeah.
playing along, which was amazing for anybody observing it, hearing it, because you had, of course, the full symphony on stage, right. And then, I don't know, 100, 150
there are quite a lot.
Young musicians in front. We pretty much cracked, packed the stage at Riverview Theater. So talk a little bit now, you know, after that, because you went to the Curtis School. You've graduated from there, and mm-hmm. that is one of our most prominent, well-respected schools, but I think it doesn't have the same name recognition. People think, you know, Juilliard School, they all know that. They don't necessarily know Curtis, and yet it is a great school, one of the greatest we have. Talk about your experience there, because you went at a young age.
I did. I auditioned when I was 15 and was lucky, very fortunate to be accepted, and went when I was 16. And my mom lived with me there for 2 years, actually, because you know, they don't advise you being on the streets of Philadelphia at 16 on your own.
Probably good advice.
So, you know, it was a really great experience. It's a gem of a place, a gem of a school. It's more like a family than anything else. They only have 160-ish students there, and a very low rate of acceptance. You know, there might be five people really who deserve to get in one particular year, but because of they only have a certain amount of spots, they may right. only take one or two. It was really great. It's a very high quality, you know, music making type of school. You know, there's kind of this hidden rivalry between Juilliard and Curtis that yes. people yeah. don't talk about, but they're both fantastic schools, and you know, some people really are meant to be in one place than another, and some people thrive in either place better than the other. But it was really like a family, and you know, being very young, there, you know, the other students kind of look out for you, and there are a lot of people younger than I was. There's one student who showed up when she was 11 or 12, and you know, they just treat you like a younger sibling. It's very much family oriented in that sense, and there's a real sense of community, and I had a really, really special experience there, and learned a fantastic amount from my teachers. And one of the great things about Curtis is that you're not just limited to your own private teacher or teachers for learning. You can coach with any number of people on the faculty for chamber music. Mm-hmm. So I was fortunate to work with people like Gary Grafman, Seymour Lipkin, Meng Che Lu, Shmuel Ashkenazi, Ida Kavafi, and Pam Frank. The list goes, I mean, they're just, you can, if you choose to, you can coach with any of them. So I learned an enormous amount, not only from my teachers, but also from the other faculty there.
Terrific. You brought along a recording. And so if you don't mind, why don't we just take a little break here
sure.
so that everybody can hear your playing. I understand this one is relatively recent. Why don't you go ahead and introduce the piece?
Sure. Well, this is the Chopin Largo from the Sonata for Cello and Piano. And this was actually from a live recording I did at the Louvre Auditorium in Paris.
All right. All the way from Paris. All right. Music of Chopin. Thank you. John Henry Crawford playing the music of Chopin from a live performance at the Louvre in Paris. John Henry, of course, soloing this week with the Shreveport Symphony Orchestra, playing the Dvorak Cello Concerto, and one of our one of the bright rising stars in the musical universe. And there, by way of segue for you, Michael, why don't you talk a little bit about the Rising Stars series?
Sure. Well, this is a new program that we are really kicking off with John Henry's appearance here, where we are going to bring to our Shreveport audiences the attention of, or bring to the attention of our Shreveport audiences, young soloists who are really at the cusp of what we expect to be brilliant careers. I think it's the folks here have always enjoyed listening and to these winners that we have for the Weidman competition, for example. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a chance to extend that experience into a sort of another set of instruments as well.
Sure.
Not to say there wouldn't be pianists sometimes, but in this case, John Henry was the perfect person to kick off this new series, we felt, for so many reasons, and we're delighted that he could join us. It's you know, even at his young age, he's already a veteran of playing with a lot of orchestras around mm-hmm. the country, and many in Louisiana already, I'm happy to report. But this is your first time with the Shreveport Symphony, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Well, we're delighted that that you could play this, and I hope this concerto is one that you're excited about playing. It's certainly, I think it's the, what would you say, the granddaddy of cello concertos? Is that
I think so. I think it's kind of the, like you said, the, you know, the cello concerto. And I mean, with this piece, it's, of all the concerti I've played, it's probably the one that I've always, that I've known the longest and have come back to the most. I first played it when I was about 14, and, you know, I've been working on it odd and off ever since, you know, for this and that performance. So it's one that I'm familiar with, and that, you know, spending 8 years on a piece, you really, it has the chance to grow and you have the chance to develop it. But the kind of special occasion that this is, getting to play with my hometown orchestra, you know, it's the perfect piece, because it's when Dvorak wrote this, I mean, a lot of it was inspired by kind of his nostalgia for home, mm-hmm. His home in Czechoslovakia, and a lot of it was written in America, and so it's kind of the same nostalgia that I feel coming back home and playing it with this orchestra. So yeah, I'm very excited about it.
Well, we are delighted to have you with us. Believe me, the whole orchestra is excited, and I know that our community is as well. Should I mention that I'm going to mention, Kermit, that he's also playing with us in a couple of weeks.
Right, chamber series.
With our Noel Foundation Chamber Music Series on the 8th of February, if I'm not mistaken. And that's going to be that's a Sunday afternoon concert, playing music of Schubert, this wonderful Schubert work for, it has two cellos mm-hmm. in it, which is a little bit unusual. And for that, you're going to get to play with Chris Vasca Haas, who's, am I correct? She was your first teacher?
She was my very first cello teacher, and I studied with her for almost, I'd say, about 10 years, actually. So she's been my longest cello teacher, as well as my first cello teacher. And this is, you know, the double cello quintet. And interestingly enough, this is the first chamber music piece that I ever played.
Really?
It is. So it's you know, it's special in both occasions for me, because it kind of brings back a lot of memories. So
I hadn't realized that. And you're going to be joined by somebody else in that quintet as well.
I am. My mother, Laura Crawford, is going to be joining me. And, you know, it's not every day I get to play concerts with Mom, so I'm really excited about that.
We are as well.
Well, you do, actually, tomorrow night as well. She's in the orchestra.
That's true.
This,
that's
so
true.
So you have two opportunities. Well, that's great. And Looking forward to hearing that. The Bartok Concerto for Orchestra, of course, also on the program. And you want to mention a little bit about The Enchanted Lake as well?
Right, yeah. We're opening with a work by Anatoly Liadov called The Enchanted Lake. Now, Liadov was a composer, Russian composer, prodigiously talented guy, but evidently was a bit of a recluse and, frankly, just had to be kind of encouraged to to compose and to work. Even his teacher Rimsky-Korsakov kept writing him and saying, "You know, you really ought to write an opera. I've got the, you know, and you've written this Enchanted Lake piece. Don't you think that would be the beginning of a great opera?" And he didn't write very much. There's a piece called Baba Yaga, which shows up from time to time. Kikimora. Those are like the three pieces that we know of his. He, by the way, was the first person that Diaghilev went to when he wanted to find someone to write a ballet called The Firebird. And he said, "Nah, I don't think so. Why don't you get this guy Stravinsky to do it?" So anyway, he's you know, been in and around.
That might have been the right choice.
Well, as it turns out, Stravinsky did a pretty good job. But this music is really, really beautiful. It's very much it's kind of a combination of Sibelius and Debussy somehow. Debussy's sort of tone language, Sibelius's aesthetic of very, very spare writing. It's really just describing a, as he calls it, a lake that is essentially devoid of anything. I mentioned to the orchestra last night, it's a lake where nothing happens, and they kind of chuckle. But that's essentially what he's saying. He wants to describe that moment that you feel in nature when you feel like you are the only human being on the planet. If you're ever in a position where you are just feel like you are alone with nature, that's what he's trying to describe in this piece. So it's incredibly atmospheric, very beautiful. I think, to me, a very beautiful way to begin a concert. You know, you come in from having parked and walked through the lobby and looked at the program notes and all these kinds of things, and sometimes you just need... You either need something that kind of grabs you by the collar and shakes you and says, "Here, we're going to have a concert." That could be a rousing opener. Or maybe you need something that kind of puts you into a, what is that, beta brainwave pattern, you know?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
I think this piece does that.
That makes sense. A good setup for the Dvorak.
I hope so.
If you are hopefully interested in attending, the concert is tomorrow evening. It's at 7:30 p.m. in the Riverview Theater in downtown Shreveport. For ticket information, you can always go to ShreveportSymphony.com. And yes, you can get tickets at the website. You can also call 318-227-8863 or TUNE, what we used to call the tune line. Either way, great way to get tickets and hear this amazing concert lineup. The Liadov, the Dvorak, and Bartok Concerto for Orchestra. A really spectacular concert. Michael, John Henry, I want to thank you both for being here.
Our pleasure.
Certainly. Thank you for having
looking
us.
Looking forward to the performance. And if you are with an organization and you have an event coming up and you'd like to be featured on a future spotlight, let us know that. Give us a call at 800-552-8502.